Again, it's not all about me, but Jesus Christ, dude. Cooper Kupp, most likely gone for the rest of the fantasy regular season. It's not all about me, but I get to air it out while I'm grieving a loss like this. I'm crushed. My team looks a whole lot worse without him. If the Rams are in the playoff hunt by week 16, maybe he'll come back. But if they aren't, which, I mean, there's no indication that they would be with, you know, their entire offense being basically injured now with Cooper Kupp out. I feel like he's just gone for the remainder of our season. You know, if he does come back week 17 in a fantasy championship and I happen to be in it, like, I don't know. That'll just make a very stressful decision. Also, side note, I'm looking to make a trade for a running back or a wide receiver by the trade deadline, which is in 13 days as of the time I'm recording this, November 30th. So send them my way. Let's get into the episode.
Welcome to the League of Champions podcast. I am going to savage you this week.
All right, so recapping the matchups from week 10. First one, Spencer and me. I picked myself to win. I did win. It's crazy. The funniest thing is I literally told Spencer in the last week's podcast to pick up Darius Slayton and start him. And it's crazy that I happened to be right on that. Obviously, Spencer didn't take my advice. But if he had and started him over Allen Robinson or Marvin Jones, he would have beat me. So hindsight's 20/20, I get it. But man, it's gotta suck when your opponent tells you to do something and then you don't do it and you lose because of not doing that exact decision. It's funny. It's fantasy football. That wasn't the only issue Spencer had. DeAndre Swift somehow managed only 12 total yards against the Bears defense. Like, what in the hell? He scored, so I guess he didn't completely murder Spencer, but it's so crazy how this season has gone. You know, after last season where it seemed like every time he touched the ball, he could score, to this season where he's like not really even utilized in the offense. Maybe they're just trying to, you know, keep him healthy or try to get him healthy, or I don't know, but it's just strange. I mean, nobody, including Spencer, is really in a position that could bench DeAndre Swift because of what he can do, you know, if he's active. But it's just tough to watch it happen. It's insane that I won. Speaking of Cooper Kupp, with Cooper Kupp ending his day with 3 receptions for -1 yards. And, you know, that's how he's going to be remembered this season if he's done, is this last week where he just fucked people over so bad. So somehow I survived that, which is great. It's brutally went out like that, but I guess that's just what fantasy football's all about. I know this type of thing, you know, an injury to someone like this might make people scramble to pick up, you know, the other receiving options for the Rams, especially since a couple of them are on waivers. And I think I picked up Ben Skoronek or whatever the hell his name is, just as kind of like an insurance thing to see what happens. But with how Stafford's been playing and now that he's injured and how the teams looked, it's tough to really, I just don't see you being able to trust anybody on the Rams, running backs, anybody. I'm in a position where I'm kind of forced to potentially start one of the running backs, but I don't want to. So despite that massive vacancy in the passing game, I would avoid everybody there. Good news for Spencer and the good news for me is that Tony Pollard and Deonta Foreman are both unexpected studs. I think obviously you might have expected more from Pollard just because of what he did last year when he got any chance, more than Foreman anyways. And Pollard's obviously been more impressive. But if you look at the games since Foreman took over, he's been great in 3 out of the 4 games. In the one game he wasn't, the Panthers just looked like a punching bag against the Bengals. They just had no anything. They just looked awful. Honestly, like probably the worst an NFL team has looked this season, I would say. Granted, as Tim mentioned, 2 of those games were against the Falcons, but still, you can't discount the production completely. They are NFL teams after all, regardless of, you know, how bad they are, how their record shows. So I'm hoping to just ride the Deontay Foreman. Hopefully he's at least decent for the rest of the year, because I'm in a bad spot for running backs. Spencer, and then for Spencer, Spencer has an absolute gauntlet of matchups for the rest of the year. So it might be tough for him to turn the season into anything, but I mean, you can always play to fuck up other people's playoff hopes. It's almost as satisfying as winning. The next matchup, Stefan and Andrew. I picked Stefan to win. I thought it was going to be really close. Stefan did win. I thought, like I said, I thought this was going to be a lot closer than it ended up being, but Andrew's team just completely imploded. Maybe the most impressive implosion of the season. So just to put how bad that is into perspective, Patrick Mahomes outscored the rest of his team. I mean, I said Andrew would need a big game from Mahomes to be in this matchup, which he got, but he didn't get anything from the rest of his team. He just needed them to do something, or a couple of them to do something, which they just all decided they weren't going to do. Isaiah Pacheco, he looked great in the field for the Chiefs, had 16 carries. So, it looks like he's taken over the lead role for their team. He had over 5 yards of carry. He fumbled, so his fantasy stat line doesn't look as good as it could have. You swap out that fumble for a touchdown, though, and Pacheco would have been the talk of like every fantasy show and every fantasy player, you know, to grab off the waivers. I absolutely blew the call on the Mac Hollins having a sneaky good game for Andrew. He ended with 2 catches for 18 yards. Derek Carr, just, he's not the guy. You know, he's likable, I guess, but it's just really, really showing this year. And the excuse for him for so long is, at least what I was telling myself, is that, you know, he has literally never had a number one wide receiver. The closest thing he's had to, by one number one wide receiver, I mean like a top echelon receiver. The closest he ever had to that was Michael Crabtree. And that was like an old Michael Crabtree, end of his career Michael Crabtree. So I don't know, but you get the best wide receiver in the game and you still look like this. It's tough to justify. Granted, it is a new offensive system, which also he's had basically every single year, a new coach, coordinator, system. I don't know. He's the guy who does just enough not to get fired. So he's just so inconsistent. It's really frustrating to see someone, you know, with the weapons they have on that team, just not be able to put it together every week. I heard, this is kind of off, you know, our league, but I heard speculation/rumors that, you know, if the Buccaneers season doesn't go, you know, playoffs, Super Bowl, Tom Brady could dump the Bucs next season and go to Vegas, reunite with Josh McDaniels in a system, obviously, that he knows extremely well and was very successful in. And, you know, to walk into a system like that, it's in Vegas, it's still nice, it's warm. He's divorced now anyways, so it doesn't even matter. It's just, and with the weapons they have there, you know, it would be wild to see. I mean, if you think back to like when Tom Brady had, what was it, 2007, when he had Randy Moss and like what they did, you know, Matt, you could have Devontae Adams is like, you know, it would be that level of, I don't know, potential success again, which would be absolutely insane. But anyways, Andrew, Derrick Henry, like I said, he had tough sledding against the Broncos defense, which kind of thought he might. And Robert Woods still sucks. He had 2 catches for 10 yards. So par for the course, I guess. Stefan also got the reassurance he needed for Amon-Ra St. Brown. I was saying last week that, you know, he's good. Obviously he's very good. But he's just kind of, the past couple of weeks anyways, he's just hasn't been consistent and it makes it tough to be confident in him. But he finished with 17 fantasy points this week. I don't know if you can be completely confident in that, but because we all know how bad Jared Goff can be, but what can you do besides play him and just hope that Jared Goff puts on his big boy pants that day and, you know, can actually play football. And just a fun fact for Stefan's team, Tyreek Hill is on pace for 180 targets this season, which would put him tied for 13th all time in single season targets, or for a single season target total, I guess, if that makes sense. No big deal. It's just, you know, single, like when you think of like the target leaders, like recently anyways, it's like it's like Michael Thomas, you know, who like, it's like 7, 8, 9, 10 yard catches. You know, it's not Tyreek Hill getting 180 targets. Like, that is ridiculous. And like, he could turn one reception into 60 yards. You know, it's just like, how many, I didn't do the math on like what his current stat line is and like what that would, what the math could be, for like what he could end up with yardage. Let me try to look that up really quick. So he's averaging, I don't even know, an insane amount of, so he's averaging 14 yards a catch. And he's catching 76.4% of his passes. So if he gets 180 targets, he catches, we'll just say 75% of them, and he gets 14.17 yards per catch, he could have 1,900 yards this year. It's nuts. It's what he's doing. I guess that proves that, you know, it wasn't Patrick Mahomes making him great. You know, I mean, obviously everyone saw the talent, but he's going to be great no matter who's throwing the ball. We can clearly see that now. And no matter what system he's in. So anyways, next matchup was Nick and Nolan. I thought Nolan would win this. Nick actually won. God, I was wrong on this matchup. Nick ended up winning by over 40 points, and he only had one player not score double digits. Big ouch for Nolan. Despite their great matchups, none of the three running backs that Nolan started broke 9 fantasy points this week. As we already know, Khalil Herbert was put on IR, and I doubt the Bears have much reason to bring him back, you know, to rush him back, I should say, especially with Justin Fields doing what he's doing. Travis Etienne has the bye week in week 11 that has a couple decent matchups before hitting a gauntlet in our fantasy playoffs outside of week 17 when he plays against the Texans. And then finally, Alvin Kamara, Nolan's, you know, main stud that really needs to show up to get him in the playoffs. He's got San Francisco and Tampa Bay in 2 of the next 3 games, neither of which are great matchups. But man, if Nolan can somehow make it through those, get into the playoffs, Alvin Kamara has great matchups in 2 of the 3 weeks of our fantasy playoffs when he goes up against the Falcons and the Browns. I thought Debo would do more against the Chargers than he did. They've been really bad against the pass this year, but somehow he only got 10 opportunities in that game, including his 6 targets. I didn't watch the game. I was wicked sick and just went to bed. But I can't picture or imagine a scenario where that happens, because it wasn't like Christian McCaffrey had a huge game either. So I don't know. I might have to go back and watch it and just see what the hell happened. That is just a weird game. And Justin Herbert did nothing either, as Spencer knows. So I don't know. It just seems like nobody produced in that game, but somehow it was like 22-17 or something. So I don't. Yeah. Strange. Chris Godwin still got his big target share. But what I said last week is that we really needed him to do something with it, to have any sort of confidence in him going forward. And he finally scored, which is a great sign for Nick. And as expected, Josh Jacobs had a big week against the Colts. To be honest, I honestly think this season is Josh Jacobs' way of saying fuck you to the Raiders, who decided to not pick up his 5th-year option for 2023 for some reason. He's only going to be 25 at the start of next season. So, I mean, he's got at least, I mean, if you're really conservative, he's got 2 years left, at least 2 years left. So he's going to end up with probably a bigger contract somewhere else. And this is just his showcase for his future team. Because I can't imagine that, you know, unless the Raiders for some reason decide we're not going to pick up his 5th-year option, we're going to give him a new contract, like that would make no sense. So, but yeah. And so Josh Allen ended up playing well for Nick. I mean, he played okay as far as Josh Allen standards. So maybe like Josh Allen light. But for anyone who saw the game, he played like kind of a dumbass. If he was picked off by Patrick Peterson. And as Peterson was returning the interception, Josh Allen not only tackled him, which is kind of already stupid when you're the quarterback, but tackled him and tried punching the ball with his injured elbow and completely missed the ball. And he went down in a heap in a ton of pain. It's like, hey man, don't make the tackle, first of all. And if you really have to make the tackle, if you're that upset about it, Don't use your injured throwing arm to try to punch the ball out. You know, he's a competitor. I get it. And he, the moment, probably not even thinking about that, but it's like, dude, you have to, your team, you're going to the playoffs without a doubt. That interception's not going to keep you out of the playoffs. You have to be smarter than that. And for Nick, I mean, that would just suck if something like that happens again and Josh Allen is actually hurt and, you know, misses a couple games right before the fantasy playoffs like this. God, it'd be brutal. So edge of your seat on that one. So the next matchup we had was Isaac and Mike. I picked Isaac to win this one, and Isaac did. Might be the closest matchup we'll have all season. Isaac ended up winning by less than a point against Mike. Mike had to start Chase Edmonds, who just wasn't involved in the Broncos offense at all. He had three total opportunities for 11 yards. And I don't mention that because I'm not mentioning it because I know it was expected and Mike had to start him. But I say it because I've seen him being dropped in a lot of leagues. So it might be time for Mike to do the same and pick up someone with more upside or at least a higher floor. You know, 1.4 points is never going to be good in fantasy. I was semi-right about the Vikings stack for Mike. I said Kirk Cousins might not be great, but you can't really bench Justin Jefferson. But it might be a down week for him. I was right about the Kirk Cousins part. But Justin Jefferson had a 32% target share, caught 33% of the total passes that Kirk Cousins completed, and he also caught a total of 54% of the 357 yards that Kirk Cousins threw for. It was just all Jefferson. And I don't know if you guys saw his catch. I still don't think it was better. I actually have a picture right in front of me right now of the Sunday Night Football Odell Beckham Jr. catch in the end zone. I don't think it was quite that insane. It was 100% the second craziest catch I've ever seen in football before. But if you haven't seen it, go back and go look it up. I'm sure it's all over YouTube already at this point. Anyways, luckily, Isaac didn't listen to me about benching all the Packers. I guess he should have listened for Alan Lazard, but it didn't end up mattering. But man, did Aaron Jones go off. Jones had the most rushing attempts and the second most yards he's had on the season against the Cowboys. And he just continues to do what he's always done to fantasy managers, is never, ever be consistent, but always have the blow up games when you're wondering if you should start him or not. It's just what he does. I guess you can never bench him, but Jesus, just get us off the roller coaster with it. Just be a little more consistent from time to time. Mike's key to victory, at least what I thought it was going to be, was being carried by DeAndre Hopkins. And if you didn't see the stat line, and I told you that DeAndre Hopkins had 14 targets and 10 receptions, you would probably think he balled out and had an insane game. Instead, he didn't break 100 yards or score. So the volume is there to dominate, but as the fantasy footballers say, he's running a route bush more than a route tree, and getting 9.8 yards per reception just isn't going to dominate in fantasy, no matter how good you are, no matter how talented you are. It's just never going to work. So the next matchup we have is Brian and Brad. I picked Brad to win. Brian actually won. So I put this in quotes. Me last week, I don't see a world where the Eagle stack from Brad doesn't explode against the Commanders. That was my quote. This week, A.J. Brown caught one pass for 7 yards and the Eagles got their first loss in the season. Like, what in the hell happened? Like, it's the Commanders. It's not even their starting quarterback. It's Taylor Heinicke. It's like, dude, if Taylor Heinicke's like, if you put Shane Falco and Brett Favre into one person, you know, just like that person that everyone just loves and he's just like gunslinger, but he's not good. So I don't know. Anyways, yeah, so Devin Singletary is still a guy, wasn't even remotely phased out of the offense, which I thought there might have been, you know, a little bit of concern with Naeem Hines coming in and everything. And Singletary ended up with a great fantasy day, albeit he did fumble, so it knocked him down a little bit. But solid calls on Daniel Jones and Jalen Warren by both these guys. Neither destroyed you, which is all you can really ask for sometimes, you know, on bye weeks and waiver wires and stuff, but they both were fine, so they didn't kill your team. Also, luckily for both of them, Josh Allen did play. So Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis both had really good games. And for once, Davis didn't have one bomb touchdown that saved his entire outing, or at least that's how it feels. He had 9 targets, which is the most he's had in a game all season. Jonathan Taylor is back in a big way, had his second best performance of the season outside of week one. And I don't know if everyone realizes how potentially scary Brian's team is now. If the Ravens and Colts really get like a second half hot streak, you know, if Matt Ryan comes back with the new coach and everything, like, and then just Lamar decides he's going to be Lamar and Mark Andrews comes back. It could be pretty wild with Brian's team. Honestly, this game came down to Brad just getting wrecked by AJ Brown. I mean, that's really all it was. Who was probably one of the players he expected least to do that to him. So I wouldn't count Brad out at all. Just one of those weeks. Both guys here are most likely making the playoffs, so whatever. On to next week for both of them. And the final matchup we had was Timmy and Tyler. I thought Timmy was going to win. Tyler ended up winning. Justin Fields is just lighting the world on fire. It's out of nowhere. And Tyler's basically just riding that into the playoffs. Justin Fields topped 40 points again. Who knows if it's ever going to stop. It's just the new normal, I guess. Neither of Tyler's wide receivers did much this week, but both of them had really tough matchups. It's kind of what I said last week. Like, they both have upside to be wide receiver ones, but yeah, I didn't think it was going to happen this week, and it didn't. It doesn't change, honestly, for week 11, doesn't change that much, because Deontay Johnson goes up against a pretty good Bengals defense, and Michael Pittman goes up against the Eagles, arguably the best defense in the league. So I think it'll be tough sledding for both of them again. And I mean, luckily, if for Michael Pittman, Matt Ryan's back, so he'll probably end up being hyper-targeted. But Paris Campbell's been getting a lot of targets in that offense for whatever reason with Matt Ryan. So I have to watch that and kind of be wary of that. Jeff Wilson has been a pretty wild pickup, given that he just joined a new team that had just signed 2 running backs this offseason. But he's been producing really well, especially this week when he had, you know, 7 yards a carry, gotten 119 total yards. Or yeah, 119 rushing yards, actually. Unfortunately, Jeff Wilson and Kenneth Walker both go on bye this week. Ezekiel Elliott might not play. And Ramondre Stevenson goes up against a tough Jets defense. So Tyler's going to be dipping into every ounce of depth he has at the running back position to put together a decent pair this week. I went 50-50 on the call of both of their flex plays being good. Donovan Peoples-Jones and Joshua Palmer were the two guys I was talking about. Donovan Peoples-Jones is good. He got 99 receiving yards, but Josh Palmer, not so much. He had 8 targets, but it only turned into 44 yards in that weird anomaly freak game that happened that I didn't see. Like I said, I can't unravel what's happening with the Chargers. I mean, I know their offensive line isn't that great and they have a lot of their weapons injured. Two of their weapons injured, their 2 main receivers. But you'd think they'd be able to get at least something going with what they do have. For Tim, his low upside team is kind of starting to show their true colors outside of CeeDee Lamb, obviously, who balled out this week. Fournette is hurt, might not even be the starter anymore. He doesn't look good. Najee Harris just looks bad, like bad enough that Tim didn't start him this week. And then there's Damon Pierce, who looks incredible in the field, puts up big games, really efficient numbers, but just isn't scoring because the Texans don't have that upside as a team. They just don't score that much, and they don't have the red zone opportunities. So, and then Jerry Jeudy, targeted on the only play he played this week, knocked out with an injury, which I guess is a positive. But, and there's some optimism he'll be back this week to play, but I don't know. I don't see a way that Tim doesn't look for some sort of trade to make before the trade deadline to get, you know, an actual certified stud on his team. I just don't know if you can, you know, get in the fantasy playoffs and win with the only 2 real upside guys you have on your roster being CeeDee Lamb and Joe Burrow. Granted, the upside of those guys is enormous, but that's a lot to put on 2 players. All the other guys are kind of like, they won't kill you, but they're not going to have explosive weeks. Yeah, and that's it. So I'll be putting out hopefully another one for the matchups coming up this week on Saturday. And yeah, so good luck. Who am I playing this week? Actually, good luck to everybody besides Mike. So I'll talk to you guys Saturday.
Super. Take care now. Bye-bye then.